This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Tuesday, April 21st, 2020. A federal judge has granted a temporary restraining order on Kansas governor's isolation order. A Trump-appointed U.S. District Judge, John Brooms, granted a temporary restraining order on the issue of limiting the number of people attending religious services after two churches and pastors challenged the restriction. Executive orders issued this month by the Kansas governor limit services to 10 or fewer congregants, but allow for preachers, music performers, and others conducting the events to go over 10, provided that they engage in social distancing. Given the similarities of physical proximity between these essential secular gatherings and plaintiffs' religious gatherings, which are also deemed essential under Executive Order 2016, the court finds that plaintiffs can likely show that the broad prohibition against in-person religious services of more than 10 congregants is not narrowly tailored to achieve the stated public health goals, where the comparable secular gatherings are subjected to much less restrictive conditions, the judge wrote. For that reason, and for the reasons previously stated, he wrote, plaintiffs have shown that they are likely to succeed on the merits of their claim, alleging a violation of their First Amendment right to the free exercise of religion. What is interesting is how this recent COVID-19 situation has highlighted the relationships between various governments. We have Trump in the White House giving general guidelines and support to the states, but he has repeatedly deferred to the governors of the states to decide how or whether to close down, and now how or when to reopen. But here we have a statewide executive order being challenged by a federal court, suggesting that the state has abridged the rights of its citizens under the First Amendment. Hang on to that thought, because there's more on that in just a minute. Next, Supreme Court has ruled juries must be unanimous to convict. This is from the Associated Press. The Supreme Court ruled Monday that juries in state criminal trials must be unanimous to convict a defendant, which is settling something of a quirk of constitutional law that allowed divided votes to result in just two states, Louisiana and Oregon. Justice Neil Gorsuch wrote for the court that the practice is inconsistent with the Constitution's right to a jury trial and that it should be discarded as a vestige of Jim Crow laws in Louisiana and racial, ethnic, and religious bigotry that led to its adoption in Oregon in the 1930s. In fact, no one before us contests any of this. Courts in both Louisiana and Oregon have frankly acknowledged that race was a motivating factor in the adoption of their states' respective non-unanimity rules, Gorsuch wrote. The justices' 6-3 vote overturned the conviction of Evangelista Ramos. He's serving a life sentence in Louisiana for killing a woman after a jury voted 10-2 to convict him in 2016. Oregon is the only other state in the union that allows for non-unanimous convictions for some crimes. Louisiana voters changed the law for crimes committed beginning in 2019. The Oregon District Attorney's Association said in a statement that a change to unanimous verdicts could make criminal convictions more difficult. However, it is a hallmark of our justice system that it should be difficult to take someone's liberty. The Supreme Court last took up the issue in 1972 when it ruled that nothing in the Constitution bars states from allowing some convictions by non-unanimous verdicts, even as it said that the Sixth Amendment requires unanimous verdicts in federal criminal cases. The case turned on the vote of Justice Lewis Powell. The 1972 decision left the jury trial right as one of the few rights guaranteed by the first 10 amendments to the Constitution that does not apply uniformly to the states as well as the federal government. Last year, the court held that the Constitution's ban on excessive fines applies to the states and the federal government alike. There can be no question either that the Sixth Amendment's unanimity requirement applies to state and federal criminal trials equally, Gorsuch wrote Monday. Remember that as the Bill of Rights was originally conceived, it was merely a list of rights that the federal government could not infringe upon. For example, the First Amendment begins, "Congress shall make no law," and it goes on to prohibit Congress from establishing a national denomination or limiting the free exercise of speech or religion. But remember, at that time, 9 of the 13 states had state religions, established state churches. That might not have been a great idea, but it was constitutionally legal at the time. The Bill of Rights merely limited Congress and the federal government, not states. Likewise, the 10th Amendment specifically relegated all other matters not covered in the first 9 amendments to the states. Quote, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. That's the 10th Amendment. It is perhaps the 10th Amendment that has taken the most severe beating over the last 250 years. And this was particularly enshrined in the Constitution with the 14th Amendment, which states in Section 1, quote, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. So it's interesting to note how this latest decision produced an unusual lineup of justices, with liberals Stephen Breyer, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Sonia Sotomayor, and conservatives Brett Kavanaugh, Clarence Thomas, and Gorsuch supporting Ramos. Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Samuel Alito, two conservatives, were in the dissent along with liberal Justice Elena Kagan. This is because a key part of the case depended on the court's appraisal of the 1972 decision, retaining states' rights on the matter of jury decision. Overturning precedent is a particularly fraught issue on the court in general, but in recent years, principally because the additions of Gorsuch and Kavanaugh have made the court more conservative and perhaps more likely to undermine or overturn landmark abortion rights rulings like Roe v. Wade or Casey v. Planned Parenthood. Gorsuch, Sotomayor, and Kavanaugh, Thomas, and Alito addressed the issue of precedent in majority, dissenting, and concurring opinions. Kavanaugh has said that prior decisions must be not just wrong, but egregiously so. The 1972 decision, he wrote Monday, is egregiously wrong. Alito, however, noted that some justices in Monday's majority might find it more difficult to complain about abandoning other precedents. I assume that those in the majority will apply the same standard in future cases, he wrote. So, there are very interesting dynamics at work in all of this for Christians. On the one hand, the wisdom of vesting increasing power in the hands of federal government seems very wise and against the design of the framers of the Constitution. The original vision of a complex system of checks and balances both inside the federal government and outside in the state governments, down to county and city governments, seems far more wise and biblical in principle. At the same time, what is to be done when one of those governments seems to be violating very basic human rights? This was the situation of the antebellum South, to some extent, with the institution of slavery, and it is currently the situation with regards to abortion. Lastly, Al Mohler says he'll vote for Trump. In an Ask Mohler session, Mohler recently announced that he is likely to vote Republican for the rest of his life, citing the platform of the RNC as more significant than the personal piety of the man, at least at this point. Mohler noted that he did not vote for Trump in 2016 precisely because of character, in keeping with a fairly straight line of presidential votes beginning with Ronald Reagan in 1980. Mohler acknowledged his past insistence on character, particularly during the impeachment trial of Bill Clinton, in which Mohler notes that he made numerous public television and radio appearances calling upon Clinton to resign. Mohler's argument seems to be that the last 4 years have simply seen a further massive shift in the American political cultural landscape. Mohler cites the landslide of secular militancy from the left, combined with a surprising number of strong accomplishments from Trump, using executive authority to suppress abortion and his conservative judicial appointments among the most significant. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. You can find this show and all the others on the Fight Laugh Feast Network at crosspolitic.com or fightlaughfeast.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Our app is the only way to get in the bullpen with Mark Dewey, maybe the best worldview baseball podcast in the history of ever. Support Rowdy Christian Media, become a Fight Laugh Feast club member, and for a limited time, you can get your very own Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt and access to tons of content. Pastors and politics, biblical counseling, God and government, the end times, worldview shotgun series, everything. You also get $100 off your registration for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference, where we hope we will meet many of you in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register now. Have a great day.